Thank you, God. Heavenly Father, this is a special weekend. We've been in prayer. This family's been in prayer for the last 24 hours. And Lord, there's nothing like opening with a song that just talks about our deepest desires. I've never met anyone in this whole family, Lord, that said, oh, I just want to have a big house. I just want to have a fancy car. I want to have a boat. I want to own lake property. I've never heard any of those things. People here, Lord, just continue to tell me they just want to be used by you. They want to know you more. They want to set captives free. They want to lead the lost to you, Lord. And so, Father, this song just expresses our heart so much. As we kind of wrap up the 24 hours of prayer, the prayer vigil, Lord, we look to you and we just declare, just like this song, mold us, shape us, fill us, guide us. Have your way, Lord. Have your perfect will. Have your perfect will for each one of our lives, Lord. We want to do great things for our Lord Jesus Christ, that you'd be famous in Newhall and Wyoming and places farther out, Lord. We want to make you just be well known in this place, and we want to see your effect in this community. We ask this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Everybody said? Amen. Awesome. So welcome, everybody. It's a great day to be in the house of the Lord. I know sometimes we can get sick of the rain, but you know what? Every instance of rain in the Bible is a blessing. Every single one. I know some people say, whoa, hold on a second. What about the flood? The flood was a blessing to the believers. God saved every single believer on the planet by the flood. Just saying. when it rains, the harder it rains, the better it is for us. It's a sign of blessing. And we finished up this 24 hours of prayer, and it rained hard for almost an hour. And so I don't believe in coincidence. I believe there's a God that holds everything in his hands. So I just kind of feel like that was a confirmation of blessings raining down on us because of what we prayed for. Amen? Awesome. We got a packed service today. We have, we're going to do communion. We're going to have a baby dedication. Amen, Sabrina. I heard you. You're rolling with me. And then we're going to finish with water baptism. So today's all about new life. New lives and a new life, a new season, just newness and freshness. And I know that's what we all prayed for. I see it in so many places. I'm just excited to see what God wants to do in our midst today and going out from here the next, I don't know, next year, next couple of years. It ain't going to look like this for very much longer because God is moving and we're with him, right? So let's say good morning to each other and then we'll continue going. Well, good morning, everybody. Well, speaking of new life, congratulations to Victor and Rosa and the birth of their new son, Zabdiel. I think I was close on that. So all the details are right there in center stage in the bulletin. He's actually 6 pounds, 8 ounces, and 19 and a half inches long. Yeah. Man, thank God for healthy baby boy and mama. So praise God. New life. Church growth, right?
One way or another.
Yeah. Hey, takes faith and works. So, praise God with that. I encourage you to check out the whole bulletin, see what is applicable for you, what you want to get involved in. And a special reminder for the women's brunch, which is next Saturday. And so, ladies, you're going to come in and get served. You don't have to do nothing. Just come on in. You can bring a friend, a relative, frenemy, whatever you want to bring. And the guys are going to serve you. So we're going to get the food. We're going to set out all the food. We're going to make sure you guys are blessed. And just come in and enjoy yourself. There's going to be some crafts done and stuff like that. So it should be a fun time and a great meal. So I just encourage all the ladies to come and to bring a friend. And if you're going to bring a friend, could you please let me know just so when we get the food, we make sure we have enough. That'd be the one thing. So, Andy, I know you're holding your granddaughter, but I'd like to put you on the spot and come up and share the verse that you showed me this morning. Because obviously for the last 24 hours, we're asking God to speak to us. And I'm going to switch to the handheld for Andy. Oh, okay. So Andy has a verse I think is perfect for, I think this is God speaking to us.
So all week I've had Numbers 13. Brought to me different ways. I listen to all sorts of stuff at work through headphones as I'm working, and this has came to me 5 or 6 times through different things. So, and then my devotion actually pinpointed this one, and it's Numbers 13:30, and it's where this is where Moses sent the spies out to check out the promised land and to see if it's good or not, and when some of them came back and said that it was not good and we shouldn't go there, and then Caleb spoke up, and so this is the verse. Caleb quieted the people in the presence of Moses and said, "We must go up and take possession of the land because we can certainly conquer it." And I feel like this goes along with what Mike said last week about how we've done lots of different things and it didn't seem like it really worked, or it didn't work as well as we wanted, or stuff like that. So I think that this is just telling us that this is our time and we should go forward and not, oh, you really want to help. And push forward with wholeheartedly on the things that we come up with and things we want to do in this neighborhood.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Andy. Can I have the ushers come up and we'll take the offering? If you felt like God gave you a word or an impression or a scripture and you haven't written it down and put it in that basket, could you take time this morning to do that? Just write it down on something and put it in the basket back there on the table in the foyer. And me and Andy are going to go through that. We're going to read them. We're going to pray over them. And then we're going to weigh them out. And then we're going to do our best to hear God collectively for what he just said to us in the last 24 hours of prayer. We know he said something. We'll do our best to hear him accurately and then bring that forth to everybody so we can know what God said while we are seeking his face. Amen? Awesome. Well, Father, I just thank you so much. I thank you again, Lord, for new life. There's always new life around us, Lord. And one of the conversations I had today is you're always talking to us. It's just a matter of whether we're listening, whether we're tuned in. And Father, sometimes it feels like my radio's not even on, let alone if I'm on the right channel. And Lord, this weekend was amazing and wonderful. And I just want to say thank you on behalf of all of us. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us, for touching us, for really just refining our listening ability to hear you clearer and to sense you more and to just spend time with you, Lord. We thank you and we praise you, God. Lord, as we take this offering, would you please multiply it and in real and measurable ways, would you bless people with this money that we're given to you? Because, Lord, we give at church, but we give money to you. You're the living God, and we honor you with all that we have. Please bless it and multiply it. In Jesus' name, amen. Worship team, come on up as the baskets go by you.
God is really doing some exciting things today in this church. It's going to be an awesome day. Go ahead, Pastor. Amen.
Kyle, I hate to interrupt you. We're doing things a little bit different this morning because of all the different stuff going on. So we're going to release the kids now with the Sunday school teachers. And then we're going to do worship. We're going to do communion. They'll bring the kids back up. And we'll celebrate baby dedication and water baptism together. So I know that the kids really look forward to Sunday school, and I know the teachers put a lot of work into it, and so I didn't want to just try to give them like 5 minutes to squeeze their lesson in or cancel it, so I thought we'd just do a little different today. So there you go. Thank you, Kyle.
No problem. Yeah, as we were getting ready for the service, praying together this morning, my wife said something that really stuck with me this morning. She said, you know, we're doing so many special things for people, but it's really all about God,
Amen.
What he's doing in our lives. And so she said, just make it all about God today. And so I just wanted to relay that as I felt like
Amen.
That was the Holy Spirit speaking. Mm-hmm. Just make it all about God. So just please stand with me, join together as we praise and lift up his name because he's worthy of it.
Compassion, love has never failed.
the glory of the risen King. Shine your light and let the whole world see. For the glory of the risen King, Savior. Go back and sing, shine your light, hey. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Savior, we can move the mountain. Time, conquer the grave. Thank you. glory of this world. Grace amazing, poor and weak, taught me in my misery. Took my curse and broke my pain, so I could bear your righteous pain.
Grace. Before we go into this last song, we know that we have your heart because you gave us Jesus on the cross, God, his blood shed for us. And we just want to lift that up this morning, God, with all the dedications and the commitments this morning, God. We want you to know that you're loved and that you're first in our lives, God. We want to show it this morning through our worship and through our commitments and choices for you this morning. Please bless the rest of this worship. May you be praised over and above all this morning, as you have our heart this morning as well. Lord, you have our heart.
Lord, you have my heart, and I will search for you. Jesus, take sacrifice.
Let's do that again.
Heavenly Father, we praise you and we exalt you. Lord, these songs really express what's in our heart. We adore you. And we love to express the truth, the fact that we give you our whole heart. And that we want to serve you with all that we are. We want to bring you glory, Lord. And Lord, just as much as serving you and doing great things for you and making an impact on this world, Lord, as much as that, we want to know you more. We want to have an ever-growing relationship with you. We want to have the confidence that when we talk to you, you're hearing us, and when you're talking to us, we're hearing you. Lord, all the stuff we ever do or accomplish or are used in, Lord, we want that to be a result of our relationship with you. We don't want it to ever replace our relationship with you. So, Lord, this morning, as we're going from singing to talk and all of it's worshiping you, Lord, as we transition, we just want you to know, Lord, our hearts are full of love for you. We're full of love from you. And we just give you all the glory that you're so worthy of. In Jesus' name, and everyone says, amen. Go ahead and be seated. Thank you, worship team. That was wonderful. If you want to just turn that on low, maybe. Yeah. Thanks. I think one's good enough. Thanks. Well, all right, man. Whew, that was amazing worship. Man. Just no replacing the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Wow. Well, we're going to do communion now. It's It's kind of an amazing Sunday in a lot of different ways, but for me personally, one of the amazing things is a couple of the visitors that we have in the house. I won't embarrass them and make them come up or anything, but I've been part of a lot of international missions trips to England and Canada and lots of nations in Africa, Haiti several times and stuff. I've gone with a lot of great men of God and great teams of men of God, men and women of God. And this morning I'm just reminded of one of the amazing trips I took to Haiti. And we got this Mason and that Mason. And that was 5 years ago when me and those two went to Haiti. And Haiti's always a bit of a, there's unrest. You're never 100% sure you're safe. Or is this a trip you're going to get martyred on? I can laugh, but I'm sure I'm going to go back there sometime. So I took, I believe, a 14-year-old and an 11-year-old, or a 15-year-old and 11-year-old, and we went down to Haiti together, and it was an amazing trip. I mean, before you guys leave today, I'd love to get a picture with the two of you, one on each side of me, because I got pictures from that era, and they're like this tall, and so now they're like this tall, and I remember one time, one of the guys that whose house we stayed at, he took us out to see some friends, and it was like straight out of one of the Bourne movies. It's the closest thing I could tell you, because we left, and then we cut through these little pathways in between these buildings, which weren't even alleys. They're like stoops where the people that lived there would come out, and because Franz had used to live there, this was his old neighborhood. And so he knew his way around in this thing. There's no way any of us could go there. If they dropped us off, we'd ever find our way out. I'm just saying. The place is like this wide. There's a gutter, open sewage. There's people coming and going of all kinds. And we probably cut through there. I think it was about 5 or 10 minutes through there till we got to the house that Franz grew up in. And I just remember at the time it was such a unique experience. And I've been to Nigeria, I've been to Zimbabwe, I've been to Kenya. I've never experienced anything like that. And I'm betting both of them can remember that pretty clearly, the smell, the sound, the sight of that. And just having to trust God for the whole thing. And so I just thank God for they're both in the house right now. God bless both of you. May he continue to fulfill his plans for your lives. They're both kind of like sons in the Lord to me. They are sons in the Lord to me. I've spent a lot of time with both of them. I've invested on purpose into both of them, and they're both grown up into godly men, and I couldn't be prouder of both of you. I think you're both going to do great things. Amen? So praise God. So we're going to do communion. If you've been here many times or very long, you know what I'm going to say. You could probably come up here and say, this is what Pastor's going to tell us again. Communion table is a celebration table. It's all about Jesus. It's all about what Jesus did. It's all about what Jesus is doing and all Jesus is going to do. Yes and amen. I never get tired of saying it. I could preach for a couple of hours on the communion table about the event with Jesus and his disciples, but I just got to say it again. Communion table points back to the cross. Jesus, who was perfect, the only man that ever walked the earth that didn't sin. The only one that didn't deserve to die for sins. Jesus went to the cross for me and you. I know people say he went to pay for all sin. He went to pay for Mike Young's sin. How about you? Isn't it exciting to be able to say that? He went and did it for me. If I was the only person on the planet, he'd have went to the cross for me. How about you guys? That's what when we celebrate the past, it's our personal Savior. Jesus Christ, who called me by name, who went to the cross for me on purpose specifically. As horrible as I am, as horrible as I was, he chose to do it. And he said, for the joy set before him, he's going to go through this stuff. This is a celebration of right now. Today, all of us are going to sin. If you haven't already, you're going to before you go to sleep tonight. Guarantee it. You know the great thing is? There's a changeover that happens with the communion table. Before we get born again, born from above, with a brand new spirit, before that, when we sin, we feel guilty. And it's true. Anybody around us or the Lord himself could come and say, Paul, you sinned again. You're guilty. And you'd have to respond, guilty as charged. And then you schlep on through life feeling guilty. No matter what you do, even if you string a few days in a row good and you don't do that bad habit and you do a couple of good deeds and stuff, deep down you still feel guilty. The communion table changes all that. We celebrate the fact that Jesus came once and for all, paid for all of our sins, and washed us clean. I'm going to talk a little bit more about this when I get into water baptism later on, but we no longer have any reason to feel guilty. Amen. And you might be thinking, well, hold on a second, I still sin. Of course I'm going to feel guilty. No, no. When you sin, you feel convicted. Big difference. Huge difference. If you die in your guilt, then what did Jesus pay for? If you're still guilty, well, didn't the innocent die for the guilty so we could be innocent? We have the righteousness of Christ. I don't have to feel guilty anymore. The Bible literally says, you have been washed clean, washed of your guilt, so that in this innocence, this cleanness, this wholeness, you can serve God wholeheartedly without any guilt. If you want to feel shut down, feel guilty. When I feel guilty, it shuts me down. I don't want to talk about God. I want to read the Bible. I don't want to pray. I don't even want to be at church when I feel guilty. Until I go, hold on. You might be convicted of something, Mike, that you have to confess that sin, ask forgiveness for it, and move on. But you're no longer guilty. Because if you're guilty, then you're going to have to pay for that. And the only way you can pay for guilt is through blood. That's your life. So we have to settle it, folks. Today when we take communion, we've got to settle it. Am I still guilty, or did Jesus pay in full and take all my guilt? Because if I'm still guilty in my sins, then I'm going to have to die and take that punishment, which is eternal hell. Uh-uh. Oh, no. Let me just sort this out, Mike. You don't feel guilty. I might feel convicted. If you feel convicted, man, repent. By all means, say, Lord, I'm sorry. I feel your conviction. There's something wrong. I treated that person that way. Lord, please forgive me for that. I'm going to try harder to get over that thing. Would you please cleanse me now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. If you ignore conviction as a Christian, you'll never grow. Ever. Conviction is how God comes and goes, hey, dude, that's holding you back. That's sin. Stop doing it. Well, I don't want to. Okay, but I'm going to keep convicting you. Every time you do that, you're going to feel crummy. Or you can give it up through the power of the Holy Spirit, and I will bring you over here and we'll transform your life, and that'll give you greater freedom and hope and joy in God. So we're not guilty anymore. We may be convicted. Conviction's a good thing. Conviction means you can hear God. It means you're still sensitive to Him. Ooh, you're right, Lord. That attitude was wrong. Okay, Lord, please forgive me. I was da-da-da-da-da. But would you forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness and renew me with the right spirit? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The living Christ inside of me is transforming me through power and conviction. We don't need to have a guilty conscience. Jesus was guilty. Guilty once and for all. Washed us clean. That's today. We're going to celebrate serving God wholeheartedly with clean consciences. Glory to God. And we're looking forward. Because maybe, I really would love to have, while I'm preaching at church sometime, have Christ come back. Come on. That would be the absolute best closing to any service ever. Wow. Me and Jesus preaching the gospel. I'll start it, He finishes it with the rapture. Come on. Come on. That would be awesome. So someday, and I know all of us are thinking, I won't say all of us, I know sometimes I can think, it's going to be a while till He comes back because this has to happen and that has to happen and this and that. And it's going to be, hold on, Mike. The Bible says Jesus is going to come back like a thief in the night. Now, a thief never goes, okay, are you watching? You ready to call the cops? You all set? Okay, I'm going to break in now. He comes when you don't expect it. And if God is going to choose to come back when you don't expect it, guess what? You ain't going to expect it. God is perfect. He's going to perfectly plan it to shock the most people. Whew. I want to be ready. I want to celebrate this part of communion. I want to celebrate this part of communion. And I want to celebrate this part of communion. Lord, if you come back right now, I'm ready. I'm ready. Anybody left behind can fight over my junk. I'm done with it. Go for it. Right? I don't care if it's stacked nice. I don't care if you got my codes, you got to break in. Whatever. I hope it's a short fight, though. I'm out of here. If it's 10 years from now, then I have to go, okay, I'm ready. serving with a clean conscience, valuing the cross, sharing the gospel. 10 years, though, it's not a 50-yard dash. I'm still ready. What if it's 20 years? What if it's 30 years? Or four? What if it's 40 years? I'm 90 years old in some old folks home with drool coming down the side of my chin. Oh, Jesus. Communion, celebrate. Yeah. Okay, Lord, if you're going to take that long, I'm going to be ready. I want to be ready. I want to help everybody around me be ready. I want to encourage you, exhort you, convict you, correct you if I have to, because I got the word. Timothy 3:16 says you can do all of that. So whatever I got to do to help you, help me be ready for the Lord and celebrate communion table all times. That's my heart. Amen? That's what I preach for communion. So I'm going to ask you guys to come on up and grab some bread and grab some juice. And then go back to your seat and we'll celebrate communion all together. So you can come up any old way you want. We're not too big of a crowd to have crowd control. Thanks, Tammy. Yeah, it was like during worship, not even looking at you two guys, but I got two such clear images. One was when you got baptized and you helped me baptize them. And you guys were just kids, seems like. And then when we were riding in the car around in Haiti and you guys were kind of taking it all in and we were all cooking. It was so hot. And it was just, now here you guys are men. It's just amazing. So anyways, so Lord, we just celebrate you, Father God. We celebrate you, Lord Jesus. We celebrate you, Holy Spirit. In communion, we're mindful that it's the Father who sent the Son so that the Holy Spirit can transform us from the inside. And so, Lord, collectively, all of us, in one accord, one unity, one purpose, with one God, one baptism, one Savior, one Lord. Lord, this bread was one loaf earlier today, and now collectively, together, we take it, celebrating all that communion means to each one of us. And so let's all of us just take the bread now. Lord Jesus, when you were on this earth, the last meal you ever had, you finished it up with communion. And you told them, as you tell us, do this in remembrance of me. And so as we get ready to drink this juice, we're going to pause for a minute and just have some quiet so that all of us personally can remember you, Jesus, one-on-one, outside of everything else. Just us, personally, one-on-one, us with Jesus, just to talk to you, ask for forgiveness, anything, any known sin in our lives, and then ask for power to overcome that sin from now on. Let's just take a minute and just pray with them in your heart to Jesus. So together we take the juice as we remember the blood sacrifice, the life sacrifice of Jesus for each one of us personally. Go ahead and take the juice. Father God, we thank you for our salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you that your word tells us that through grace and by faith, we are born from above, and through the great sacrifice of Jesus Christ, we just say, Lord, we love you, and we thank you for our salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Good thing they got wheels, huh? So we're going to do baby dedication now. And I was over at some friend's house last night. I won't mention any names, Joel and Angela. But we were talking about baby baptism and baby dedication and a lot of great things. And I think they're similar. I think what's in people's hearts are similar. But for me, it's great. And today we have both water baptism and baby dedication. If you want to bring the kids up, Tammy, that would be great. Thank you. Because the two are very separate in the Bible. They're two very different things. And I personally think that when you confuse them or mix them, you kind of take away from both. And so I think baby dedication, for parents to recognize God in the upbringing of their kids, I think is super important and it's super right. And I think to have the congregation backing them is super important and super right. Because I've been a parent and I'm a grandparent, still a parent. My daughter's right here. So I'm a parent and a grandparent. And I know that many, many, many times as our family's gone through stuff, you guys have helped us, have strengthened us, have reinforced, and even saved us in some of the situations. So it's important to have a family behind you kind of pulling on the same ropes. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 7, this is what the Bible says. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. The Bible is very specific. God is very intentional when he says, Christians, believers, you should teach your children, at least show them that you love the Lord and that you're serving the Lord. Your life should be an evidence about God so that they're taught about God. Everybody has to make their own decision if they're going to love God. You can know about God, but to love him is your own choice. You can't be taught that you have to love God. People can tell you that, but the decision is always with the individual. Psalm 103, verse 17 and 18. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them. Wow. So God keeps his covenant to the generations after us. So what we're doing here today with Andy and Denise, and with Cassie, and with Sabrina, will go on to Sabrina's kids and her grandkids. It's way more than just a Sunday morning event. We're tapping into the faithfulness of God and his word, and that always goes through generations. It's a dedication by parents who have dedicated themselves and want to do the same with their most prized possession, their children. And I think when people do infant baptism, that's what's in their heart. The problem is water baptism in the Bible is always about an individual who has met God on a personal level and now wants to live their whole life for him. It's a huge decision. And so they come to God in faith. They make this whole heart decision that I'm going to put my faith and hope and trust in you, God, and I'm going to trust you to basically wash me clean of all my sins and then give me new birth through your Spirit. That decision on the inside, that transformation on the inside, is displayed through water baptism. There's no way a baby can make all those decisions with a baby's intellect. There's no way. So when people do baby baptism, in my mind, my own, just what I think about it, it diminishes the amazing thing that happens in water baptism when an adult says, I'm going to identify with Jesus Christ completely. And I'm going to do something that's going to probably make me look a little foolish. I'm going to get dunked underwater in a room full of people that got all their best clothes on and their hair's all perfect and everything. I'm going to come out of that water looking goofy. Yup, wholeheartedly, and I'm going to celebrate it. I'm going to celebrate the fact I'm going into that water like Jesus went in the tomb. He was dead, he was buried, and he came out to new life in his whole new ministry. That's my whole life. That's a water baptism. So to confuse that with us as parents and a family, a church family, dedicating this baby and saying we're going to be committed to that, they're totally different. It's totally different. I understand their hearts. I'm all for their hearts, loving their kids and collectively trying to bring those kids up godly. All for it. Don't use water. That's all I would say. It does not replace baby baptism. So I've already covered that thing. Water baptism is a celebration of salvation by faith through grace. We are saved by faith through grace, not by works. Not by how good we are or our parents are or this whole church is or none of that stuff. Let's not confuse those things. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 say, "For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Man. So I'd like to call up Cassie and Andy and Denise and Sabrina at this time. If you guys could just kind of stand up here facing the congregation. So in Mark 10, 13 through 16, this is what the Bible says. "Then they brought little children to him that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, 'Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it.' And he took them up in his arms and put his hands on them and blessed them." So, Cassie, this is kind of what your responsibility and your role is in all this. In presenting yourself and Sabrina to the Lord, you enter into a solemn relationship with our God who keeps his covenants to 1,000 generations. This is a serious commitment for which you will be held responsible, personally responsible by God for. I charge you in the presence of God and this congregation to love your child as much as your own life. Never allow her to have any doubts about the depths of your love. Teach her to love and obey God. Let her see in your life evidence of the working of your personal Savior. Make spiritual things the topic of conversation, the focus of family life, and the basis for personal development. Teach her to love and obey you. Obedience of parents is right because when Sabrina honors you, God promises her long life. And so I'm going to say the commitment that God's expecting from you, and then at the end you can agree or decline. I think you agree we've talked about this. So, believing that Sabrina is a gift from God and that God will hold you accountable for her, do you now solemnly confess that it is your purpose to dedicate her to the Lord and to his service? Will you faithfully discharge your God-given responsibilities as parent, as outlined in God's word? Will you pray with and for her, instruct her faithfully in the teachings of God's holy word, teach her to read the word of God, to pray and to lead a holy life, take her faithfully to church, and do all that is in you to bring her to the knowledge of Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord? If you do, say, I will. Awesome. Okay, so now here's the family's part. I'm going to read a commitment pledge for all of us, and if at the end of this, if you agree, then just go ahead and stand up, and that'll show your agreement. So as a local congregation, we bear a responsibility to this family. Will you pray for this family, encourage them as they grow together, and do all that is in your power to assist in Sabrina coming to know Jesus Christ as her personal Savior and Lord? If you'll make that commitment with this family, please stand. Awesome. Well, I'm going to pray for Sabrina right now, and I just ask everybody kind of bow your head or close your eyes, lift your hand, whatever, and then just with a whole attitude of prayer, let's make this an atmosphere of faith as I pray for Sabrina and even for her mom, Cassie, at the same time. Hi. Well, Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this precious little girl. She's just already got so much joy in her. She's such a delight. When she walks in this building, everybody that sees her seems to smile or just outright laugh. And Lord, I pray as she grows up that she will serve you in ways that will bring joy to the body of Christ, that will bring joy to her family. Lord, I pray that even at this age, that you would do what's in all of our hearts. We're asking you to set her aside, set her apart right now for your purposes and plans. Lord, would you assign warring angels to follow her through her life right now to keep her safe, to keep her protected, and even to help guide her into your purpose for her life. Lord, we thank you for this precious life. We thank you so much for her and for her mom. Father, we ask that you would give Cassie supernatural wisdom and discernment now, that she would be able to choose her battles, what needs to be talked about and fought about, and what needs to just be let go and prayed about. Would you please give her that wisdom, Lord? Every parent needs that wisdom. And Lord, we thank you for Cassie, that she's a godly woman that has a call in her life, that loves her daughter and loves her Lord. And we just bless her into your plans and purposes for her life. We bless little Sabrina into your plan and purpose for her life. In Jesus' name we pray this in agreement. Amen.
Amen.
Awesome. Yay! Go ahead and be seated, guys. Oh. Did you get it good? Awesome. Okay. Well, I'm just going to touch base on water baptism a little bit, and then we'll hop in the tank to celebrate new life. It's just such a great day of new life every direction you look, every area. It's awesome. So, you know, Jesus told us to go out into all the world, making disciples and baptizing in his name. Jesus himself was baptized, and the word, if you look in the Bible and you look at the Greek word that's used in the New Testament to talk about baptism, it's baptismo. And it literally means to be completely immersed. It means to be fully wet, to be overwhelmed. And one of the clearest illustrations that I've ever found, I use it most of the time, is like when you take a cucumber and you dunk it in vinegar and you take it out and it's a pickle. It not only does it get wet, but it gets transformed. The very tissue of this thing is now different from top to bottom, in and out, all of it. And that's what happens when people go in and they get water baptized and they do this dramatic identification with the living Christ, I believe things happen. I think it's supernatural. That's regular water in a regular water holder. Yep, nothing special about that. But when faith reaches out to God and we do Scripture in faith, miracles happen. It's no secret. We talk about, you know, different denominations have different views about baptism of the Holy Ghost. Can I just tell you, that's often the place where God goes, this is what I did for my son, this is what I'm going to do for you. When we get water baptized, oftentimes there's this special filling of the Holy Spirit. If you're already filled, you get refilled or refreshed or I don't know what to say about it, but there's something that happens in the obedience of water baptism. I can't overstate either. There's no way I can exaggerate how important water baptism is. I've talked to Christians that are stuck. They've been stuck their whole lives. Maybe they got saved. One guy I worked with, when I first got saved, I was telling everybody about Jesus, and I found out he actually was already saved. I didn't think he was. He sure hit it well. So I was talking to him about it, and I'm like, yeah, I'm so stoked I get to get baptized this weekend. He's like, yeah, whatever kind of thing. I'm like, well, how was it for you when you got baptized? I mean, I didn't grow up in the church. All I knew was that I got saved when I was 31. Everything changed for me. I'm reading the Bible. If the Bible says do it, I want to do it. I'm excited. That's all I knew. And so to run into somebody that knew Jesus, and I didn't realize that he did, and then I talked to him about baptism, and he's bored about even talking about it. I said, well, how old were you when you got baptized? He said, I didn't get baptized. So why didn't you get baptized? The Bible says we can get baptized. Jesus got baptized. Why didn't? Oh, I don't think it's all that important. No wonder you're so stuck. Now what I know is Jesus says, get saved, get baptized. So once I get saved, Jesus is my personal Lord and Savior. I'm born from above. I have the Holy Ghost inside me. Number one thing you have to do now is get water baptized. Got it. When can I do it? This week? Today? Can we do it before we leave? No, you have to wait 3 weeks. We only do it on the... Oh, man. That should be the response. to say, okay, get water baptized. No, I don't think it's important. Don't feel like it. Ain't going to do it. Why would he then come, oh, you don't want that? Well, here's number two on the menu. You like number two? No, you don't want to do number two either? Well, how about number three? We'll keep working at this till we find something you like. That ain't how God works. God says, these are the ways we're going to do it. Go forth in these ways. So if the number one thing God wants you to do, you tell him, no, we're not yet, you might find yourself stuck. If you've never been water baptized, today is an awesome opportunity to get water baptized. You might think, well, I'm not ready. Well, this, well, that. Tell the devil to shut up giving you excuses and do this life-changing thing out of obedience to God. Get baptized today if you've never been baptized. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this. Therefore, what's it there for? Listen to this. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Anyone. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's awesome. Nobody can get baptized in your place. Nobody can. Nobody can make baptism decision for you. Baptism is an outward expression of an inward transformation. Now, if you've listened to me preach about water baptism for years, you know I've changed that word now. I used to say it was outward expression of an inward decision. Now I say it's an outward expression of an inward transformation. Because that's way better. When you get born again, it's way more than a decision. You make a decision, and then a transformation happens. Yeah. And then you get baptized. There's nothing else like it anywhere in the galaxy. Just saying. Jesus commands all of us to do this so that we can get about the work. The work of building the kingdom. If we build the kingdom, we'll build the church. If we only build this church, we'll never build the kingdom. So let's not get sidetracked with church stuff. We're taking off. This is a new season. We're going to have new groups and new ministries and new, yep. And what does that have to do with the kingdom? We always have to ask our question. What does it have to do with the kingdom? I hope we're not just doing stuff to fill a church. That should be a byproduct as we express the kingdom and get more kingdom citizens. Because Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. It's very clear. Go and expand the kingdom, teaching people about Jesus Christ, bringing people, new citizens, into the kingdom, then baptizing them and teaching them to do what you are doing. Our goal, my goal as a pastor, has all along, for 17 years, has been to try to train, raise up self-replicating Christians. That's what I think we're supposed to do. So you teach Christians how to serve God, walk with God, live for God, be in God, so that they can do that for others. I don't want to be a pastor that just teaches you guys how to bring people into church to talk to me. I've cheated you if I'm doing that. We all have a purpose. Lo, Jesus says, lo, I'm with you always and I have all authority. I'm giving you guys the authority to go and extend the kingdom. First things first in all that amazing stuff, the water baptism tank. Come on, man. It's way more than just washing the outside of a cup. If you go back and you read, especially in Matthew has a whole chapter of Jesus just pounding all the seeker-sensitive people. I mean, these people come out, they're just kind of, whatever, kind of cynical, what's going on? We see the crowds, what are you doing? And just like, you brood of vipers. Now, you know anybody that's ever read the Bible, if you call them a snake, you know who you're calling them, right? You brood of vipers, you whitewashed sepulchers, which is a whitewashed tomb. It's like Jesus just pounded these dudes. It's not about washing the outside of the cup. He says, you guys, you do all this stuff. You got all these rules. You do all the fancy schmancy stuff. But it's like you have this cup that you wash on the outside, and the inside's still all horrible and nasty. Now, I don't care how clean the cup is on the outside. If I'm drinking out of it, I want the inside clean. I've had the misfortune of drinking a spider and an earwig because the inside wasn't clean. Bad things happen when it's not clean on the inside. Colossians 2:11-14 says this. Listen to this. about, I kind of talked about a little bit at communion. Now I'm talking about a water baptism. Listen to this amazing thing. This transformation happens when we're born from above. Colossians 2, 11 through 14. In him, you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Now, we all know what circumcision, all us adults know, it's a cutting away of something that's never coming back. It is gone. It's circumcision. He says, you guys have this new circumcision now because you've been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God. Now, there's other verses that say that we were raised and we're actually seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This is where they get that from. Colossians chapter 2. In baptism, in faith, in the transformation that happens by being born from above, you are buried with him in baptism, in which you're also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he's made alive together with him, having forgiven you of all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of the requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. When Angela goes in this tank, and if there's anyone else that goes in there today, we are celebrating. Their old man has been cut off. It's been cut away just like circumcision. That's what the Bible says. That chunk's gone and gone forever. They have been washed of all unrighteousness. Not only that, this is the biggest thing you can get in the New Testament. Not only have all your sins been forgiven, but all the rules that said, if you don't do this, you sin. All the rules that said, if you are doing this, you sin. The Bible literally says, having wiped out the handwriting of the requirements that were against us, having been nailed to the cross. So when we go in that tank today, we're celebrating the fact that in Christ Jesus our Lord, there'll never be another accusation against me because Jesus already paid for all of it. To the extent that he took that list with him and nailed it to the cross with him. How can you say done and done? Why do we feel guilty so much then? Guilt is the devil's ruse to shut you down and steal your joy. Conviction's different. I already talked about conviction. But don't settle to feel guilty. Don't give him permission to feel guilty in you. Man, I don't know why I feel guilty. Oh, I know why. The devil's trying to shut me down. Man, I just bind every attacking spirit right now, every accusing voice. Get out in Jesus' name. I'm born again. I've been raised to heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Everything I'll ever have to do or should have done or could have done, it was nailed to the cross. I'm perfect in God's eyes. I'm celebrating that today. I need to find someone to tell. A person, this is the process. This is how I'd say this whole process. A person hears the gospel. A person receives the gospel and then repents of their sin with Jesus and turns to God in faith. Salvation is two clear parts. I'm repenting of my sin, asking forgiveness, all that. I'm washed clean, and now I turn to God in faith. If we only do this, then we're only here. I used to be such a bad person, and I used to do all this other garbage, and gee, I kind of feel guilty when I think about this. And, things that. Baloney, that's gone, it's done, nailed to the cross, finished. God, what do you have for me? For without faith, it's impossible to please God. Don't think you're pleasing God just because you got forgiven. That's only half of it. We have to turn in faith, go, what's my purpose, God? What do you got for me? What do you got for me today? What do you got for me this season? It's a new season, God. I want to get in front of the line. What do you have for me to do, Lord? Because I want to do great things for you. I want to see people's lives changed. Because I used to be depressed and hopeless. And there's millions of them out there now. More and more every day. Suicide's rampant, almost immeasurable at this point. We've got the gospel of hope. Right? Amen. We already turned. Let's lay hold of God in faith. So you hear the gospel, you receive the gospel, you repent, you turn to God in faith, wholeheartedly taking Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The Bible describes that person then as born again or born from above. We're transformed from dead to life, and that person's name is then entered into the Lamb's Book of Life. So when you show up at that pearly gates, St. Peter and all that stuff people always talk about, I don't know about all that stuff, but there will be a day when we die, if Jesus Christ doesn't come back first, where you're going to be at the entrance. And that book's going to be open. And they're going to go M, M-A, M-I, M-C, Michael Y, Y-I, Y. Nope, no Michael Young. What? See ya. Down button. Whew. Be way worse than that. But we all know what I'm saying. If your name's not in the Lamb's Book of Life, there's no do-overs. There's no strike two, strike three, foul ball. There's none of that stuff. It's done. There's no lighting candles, people, relatives giving money, people praying for you, purgatory. That's all lies of the devil. The Bible says it's appointed once for all men to die and then the judgment. Period. I know people nowadays have very, very, very low esteem for that warning. People would say that we're judgmental or we're very narrow-minded or we're unloving. I think we'd have to be monsters. If that house was on fire and we knew people were in there, if we all just stood here and said, I don't want to tell them the house is on fire, they might think I'm judging them. And we can hear them screaming in there. You know what? Let's just pray because, you know what? I just don't want to condemn them. That's how they choose to live. I'm not going to tell them anything. Seriously, we would be running out these doors to rescue them. And if they get out of that burning house, they're fine. They can start over. If you go to hell, there's no do-overs. There's no start over. We can't be embarrassed about talking about hell. We can't because it's real and it's permanent. And the antidote to hell is Jesus Christ and the love of God, which we've all experienced. So start with the love of God. Start with the grace of God. Start with the possibility of the baptismal tank and the handwriting on the cross. Tell them about your story, how you got saved, what God did to you. And somewhere in all that, before they pray the sinner's prayer, make sure you talk to them about hell and being serious in their heart about repenting, being cleansed, because the Bible says if a person believes in his heart or her heart and confesses with their mouth Jesus Christ is Lord, you will be saved. So just because you said it, if it's not real in here, that doesn't do anybody any good. So that person then gets water baptized, totally identifying with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ in the greatest display of love that the Bible tells us to do in the New Testament. I love Jesus so much, I don't care who's watching, I don't care what you think. I'm going to go do this Jesus thing because he told me to do it, and I know I'm going to bless him today by doing it. Well, all right, I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. They're going to play a song while the rest of us, or the three of us that are going in the tank, get ready to do that. I think Joel and Angela came so ready, they're already ready. So they're going to have to kind of wait for me, and I'll be right back.
We've already seen God at work this morning through the dedication of the Starback family, and now we get to see the baptism here that God is doing in this church today, and it's just amazing. We as a worship team wanted to do something special because of today, and so we wanted to sing a song that talks about God's favor in each of you and your family's lives, because if you know him, God's favor is with you, and he's going to bless you. So we as a worship team want to sing this song, and one, we want to give God the praise, but two, we want to sing this song to let you know that God loves you. He wants to bless you. wants to bless you, wants to bless your family, wants to bless your children for generations. Lord, bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. 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 Amen.
Let's go back to the beginning.
If you want.
Careful.
Well, you guys just heard what I said about water baptism, so I really don't have to explain anything else. If you're visiting today, you might not know this is Joel and Angela, his wife. And so Angela asked to be water baptized a few weeks ago, and here's the day that we're going to do it. Did you have anything you wanted to say?
No, I'm just thankful that I'm here with this church family, and I've been blessed by everybody here. Thank you for everything.
Amen. Well, Angela, we baptize you now into Jesus Christ in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
All right, guys, well, that's it. So I'll just pray for us, and we can go into the fellowship room for some coffee and drinks and just spend some time together if you want to. God, we just thank you for bringing us here today and let little ones get dedicated and older ones get baptized today. And we just do this all in your name, and thank you for letting us follow after you. Thank you, God.